This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But really excited because we've got Matt Miller, our good friend from ESPN. We love catching up with him when we can. And he joins us now. He's on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You know him. He's been covering the NFL draft and NFL dealings in college football for quite some time. He has launched up in popularity, and now he is ESPN's shining star. Good morning, Matt. How are you feeling as a Niner fan today?
It's, you know, mixed bag. I'm a Royals fan first and foremost. So like I rode that high of like, and I know in Oregon, baseball is not huge for you guys. But, like I rode such a high of like my underdog Royals having a great year. And then as a Niners fan was like, oh, playoffs, probably another Super Bowl. So it's been a humbling, it's been a humbling October for me, which I probably needed. I think a lot of your listeners would agree that I probably needed that. So it's good. It's been good for me.
Yeah. You had something interesting. I want to get to some the matchups. Oregon, Michigan plays this week, and you had some stuff on some potential NFL players there. I got a question on the quarterback for Oregon, but I want to start. You tweeted this yesterday and it caught my attention. Scouts and agents are telling college quarterbacks to not leave school until they've started 2+ years. The NFL doesn't truly develop quarterbacks anymore outside of rare exceptions. Now, this is coming off of the Anthony Richardson. I think they said he's taking a break, even though we all know this is a benching because they want to make the postseason. This just feels like a shifting of blame. Instead of the NFL saying, maybe we're just poorly evaluating these guys and taking them in ridiculous spots in the draft, let's blame other things. What is your read on this, the way the NFL is handling young quarterbacks now who are coming out of college?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend in high school once tell me we were taking a break too, and I never heard from her again. So, we'll see what that means. I think it is like there's a lot that goes into it. We can look back 2 years now and say, should Anthony Richardson have been drafted at number 4 overall? Probably not. I certainly didn't have him rated that highly. And then you can look at it and say, were the Indianapolis Colts in a position to draft Anthony Richardson at number 4 overall with the roster they had? And this is something this past year I harped on pretty big about guys like Drake May. I loved Drake May. I didn't think the Patriots were in a position to draft and play a rookie quarterback and expect him to win. Now, you can draft the guy and say, listen, we're going to throw you out there. You're going to learn on the job. You're going to take some lumps. To hell with the record for a year or two, like the Bills did with Josh Allen. But you have to have top-down buy-in on that to where the owner is going to say, we get it. This dude played 8 games in college. He's got to go out there and play in the NFL. He's got to take his bruises, and we're going to get through it for a couple of years. Jim Irsay is not that type of owner. I mean, he fires somebody just at a whim, and then he'll hire his buddies. And like that's not the structure that you need for a project at quarterback. So I really think, like, listen, I've been covering the NFL for 14 years. I've never seen a quarterback in the NFL tap out. Because they were tired, you know. And I've watched, you know, guys like Matthew Stafford play with broken ribs and Patrick Mahomes play with like a dislocated kneecap. And like, so for Anthony Richardson on third down to tap out is a bad look. And I think you do lose some respect from your locker room and your coaches at that point. But the Colts also have to accept, like Irsay, Chris Ballard, they have to accept they drafted a project. You knew what you were getting, and now it's like, okay, now you don't like the choice that you made. That's tough.
Well, I think on the other part of that too, Matt, that I think back to April and the conversations we were having, and now I'm wondering, do NFL teams even know what they want? Because I feel like some of the guys in last year's draft class, the criticism was that they were too old, that they had played too much. Like, Bo Nix is 24, 25, and Michael Penix has been around a long time. We want guys that are 21 or 22, and then you get these situations, and it's like, well, now you're benching him. He's only played 10 games in his career. Like, do NFL teams have any idea what they want and how they're evaluating this?
No. I think some do, you know, but no, they don't. And even, you know, I'm good friends with Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, and I was good friends with him before he was the GM, when he was, you know, an area guy and, you know, kind of working under Andy scouting. And, you know, if Brett were on here with us today, he would tell you, you know, they liked Patrick Mahomes. They loved the traits. They thought they could be special, but, you know, they didn't know exactly what they were getting. And I think the problem we have now is, because of Mahomes specifically, all these teams are trying to catch lightning in a bottle. They're trying to draft a guy that can then almost learn on the job. And like, Patrick is such a rare example of that. Or, you know, CJ Stroud being great early is a rare example. You know, we're seeing Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams play well this year, but, you know, Jaden played a lot of football in college. Caleb played a lot of football in college. And back to your original question, I apologize, I didn't answer this the first time around. I talk to agents and scouts daily. And last year, when it was middle of January and players are having to decide what they're going to do, I read a pitch deck that an agent had for a quarterback. And it basically said, if you haven't started 25 games in college, NFL teams are knocking you. And that's just where we're at right now, because of this realization that not only is, you know, maybe a GM can survive one bad pick at quarterback, maybe a head coach can survive that, but the player can't. And the loss of draft capital is so valuable now that teams don't want to deal with that, you know. So it's now, I think we're to a point where you're trying to get as much information as humanly possible, which is why Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. were drafted much higher than we all expected, because, you know, there were more answers to that puzzle because they played 50 games in college.
It's crazy. I was reading a book the other day, Dirt, and it was about Tony Dungy. And when he got to the Colts, do you know what Manning's record was as a starting quarterback when Dungy got there?
Not very good. He was one of the worst rookies of all time.
He was 32-32. So imagine, like, a quarterback getting picked number one, being 32-32, like what the hot takes would be on him. Just, and that's just some perspective on Peyton Manning. Matt Miller is our guest here, NFL draft scout on Twitter, does great stuff for ESPN. A kind of a two-parter for you. One, I don't recall, so apologies, Matt. What was your thought on Bo Nix coming into the draft? What have you made of Bo Nix with Sean Payton? And to kind of pair that with it, Michigan-Oregon play this weekend. Dylan Gabriel reportedly went to Oregon because he didn't like his draft stock. He's playing really well. He's the Vegas favorite for the Heisman. I know he's a shorter quarterback, but what's the read from Dylan Gabriel as we look at some NFL draft stock with his numbers, the Will Stein offense, and how you felt about Bo Nix going into the draft?
Yeah, I have Bo Nix as an early round two player. I gave him a grade of an 89, which is basically like you should be drafted pick 33 to 40. He went a lot earlier than that, but my player comp for him was Dak Prescott. You know, good mobility, accurate, maybe doesn't have elite arm strength, but can drive the ball really well. I loved the leadership, the experience, and thought because of that, he was going to be ready to play a lot earlier than, you know, some of the other guys, just because, you know, he had 61 starts in college. You know, that experience factor is huge. And I think that plays in well to what Dylan Gabriel's doing. You know, not to toot my own horn here, but I did pick him to win the Heisman back in July. So I'm very happy to see that.
There.
Even though they kind of started slowly, I'm very happy to see where he's at right now. I think the biggest thing for him will be, you know, you almost look at the NFL and how many schemes does he fit in, and then you kind of cut there, right? So there might be 8 or 9 of 32 that say, man, we could make a guy like this work. I look at a team like the Rams, who have, it seems like every year they take a day 3 quarterback that they believe they can develop or find a use for. I think he fits something like that well. So that would be like the Rams, you know, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Teams that are kind of running that McVay system would be a really good fit for him to come in and acclimate, you know, be a QB2 for a really long time. I always tell people, Chase Daniel made a hell of a lot of money in the NFL, and he started like 10 games. And that dude is on TV now, and he's a millionaire. And anytime he comes back to Missouri, he doesn't buy his own beer. You know, it's like sometimes it's okay to be a QB2 in the NFL for 15 years and then hop on TV because you're going to be loaded, your body's going to feel pretty good, and you're set up for your second career. And I think Dylan could be that type of guy, especially, you know, with the mobility he brings to the table, the leadership, the experience, and he throws a beautiful deep ball. And so you, think about your resume as a prospect. That's his resume. You know, he's a winner. He's a leader. He's an athlete, and he has a great deep ball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think going from that, Matt, to looking at the rest of the class and back to the original questions we were asking about evaluating quarterbacks, like, I don't even know how to view these guys. Like, Carson Beck came in maybe as the number one guy in the biggest game that they've had, or two biggest games. He has not looked great. He was really bad against Texas. They won in spite of him. Quinn Ewers, another guy near the top of the list. He got benched in that game against Georgia. Shedeur Sanders is having an unbelievable year. Like, so, do we know teams are going to be desperate? These guys are going to be high draft picks. How are we evaluating them, and how do you think NFL teams are viewing this quarterback class right now?
I think there are two that they feel good about, and that's Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. But with Shedeur, you have the question of where is Coach Prime going to let him go? You know, he has said he's going to be protective of where his guys go. And so if you're the Carolina Panthers, you could probably save your trip to Boulder, Colorado to scout Shedeur Sanders. I think the message that he's putting out. Cam Ward has been fantastic this year as a, you know, playmaker, as a point guard, now that he has some talent around him. And I know you guys have seen him up close and personal, so he's played well. I think the names that you mentioned that were like the dudes headed into the year, we thought Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers would take the step. They haven't. You know, Carson Beck had three straight games with multiple interceptions. He has not looked accurate. He's been erratic. Quinn Ewers, he's good for like one really dumb throw a game, basically. This past week, he had two tipped balls get picked. Can't put all that on him, but you know, there are times where he looks so good and so dialed in. But then you do have the Georgia game where I thought his offensive line played terribly, and that's an offensive line that has, you know, three guys that might be first round picks someday. So it was just, I think Georgia just had their number. The two guys that intrigued me that probably shouldn't come out, back to our original conversation, Garrett Nussmeier. First year starter at LSU has looked good except for the second half last week. And then Drew Aylar at Penn State, who was, you know, five-star prospect coming out last year. He kind of played timid, didn't want to take a lot of chances. This year he's opened up his game more, and, you know, he has effortless arm strength, but, you know, he's still a little bit I'm a timid attacker at times, I guess you would say. But those are the two guys whose tape kind of excites me, but I also hope that they go back to school because they just need more time to develop.
Matt, you got four players. You released your top 50 prospects of 2025's draft class. I went through it, and you have four players from Michigan. Three of those four are on defense in your top 31. And I'm just kind of curious, not that one game dictates everything that teams do. Oregon goes to Michigan. Oregon is the number one team in the country for now. They look the part right now. How big a weekend like this is for prospects from Michigan? We know Michigan is limited offensively, and three of these four, again, are on defense. But that Oregon offense is potent, powerful. I'm just curious how big a weekend it is for some of these Michigan prospects that Oregon is going against.
Oh, it's huge. You know, and like you said, you know, for the Oregon offensive line, you've got some really good players there. You know, Connerly, Cornelius. And then for Michigan, it's the strength is the defense. Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant are two players in that top 50, top 31. I should have had Josiah Stewart in there as well, honestly. I was just a little bit behind on tape study when I had to hand that in. So they're, you know, powerful defensive end, number zero. I would put him in that mix as well. I haven't checked the injury report. I don't know if we're going to see Will Johnson this weekend, but he's the best corner in the country. So that's, you know, a great matchup against the speed that Oregon has at wide receiver. So it's going to be interesting to see. This is what you want as a scout. And this is, like, everyone complained about realignment. I absolutely love it because every Saturday we're getting best on best. You know, we've talked about Texas versus Georgia, you know, Michigan against Oregon. We've got Penn State, Ohio State would already been there, but like every Saturday there's these great matchups and it feels like a lot of them are ones we wouldn't have had. So I think for these Oregon guys, this is a statement game. It's a resume weekend where, you know, if you're Josh Connerly and you had kind of a quiet year, there's not a true number one offensive tackle in this class. It's a big, big chance for him. If he shuts down Josiah Stewart, that stock goes up. You know, Medford, the guard, if he could shut down Graham and Grant, that stock's going to go up. And for a guy like Terrence Ferguson, tight end at Oregon, this is a huge weekend because if he can make plays against the middle of that Michigan defense, that could really elevate him in a tight end class where the number one tight end, Colton Loveland, is going to be on the other side of the field. So if you're a scout for a team that needs a tight end, like that's the game this week because you got one, maybe one, two on the same field.
I want to ask you a prospects question about Oregon as our last question, but I need to sneak in there. What is your dog's name? Because he's making an appearance in the interview.
I have two, and my grocery delivery just came. So I have Waylon. Is a French bulldog who's he's a guard dog, even though he weighs 20 pounds. And Scout is a golden doodle who is the most scared dog in the world. So,
but he's the one barking, right?
It's a good combo.
I am doodle. Two floors above him right now. That is a French bulldog barking at the door. So.
Powerful.
Good names. Last one for you. The top three prospects of this Oregon team. We asked about Gabriel, but what are the top three prospects that you hear about from Oregon on this year's team?
Yeah, Derek Harmon has played himself into that mix as well. Defensive tackle, he might be the top Oregon prospect. I think Josh Connerly, you know, he was a top 50 recruit coming out, added some power. I mentioned it's been kind of a quieter season for him so far. I think this is a week that he can really put a stamp on it. After that, man, it's kind of a toss-up between Ferguson at tight end, Evan Stewart, and Jordan Birch. Like, and I know, like, those are all – they're all right there together, you know. So I would probably say – I'll take Ferguson just because I think he's being slept on right now. Maybe not in the Pacific Northwest, but he definitely is being nationally. But it's a good Oregon crop. Might not have right now a slam dunk first rounder, but a lot of like round two, round three players.
Yeah, good stuff. Matt Miller, we'll let you get your groceries, man. Good stuff on ESPN. We love it. We can get you on. Hopefully we can catch up with you in a couple weeks and touch back on the Ducks and other prospects in the 25 class. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.